Hello, everyone, and welcome back to the Are You the One Rahapa podcast for episode 10, the finale. I am Brian Cohen. As always, I'm here with my co-host, Allie Lesher. Allie, how are we doing tonight?
I'm doing okay. I'm doing okay. I mean, I feel like I've had time to digest the episode, like all the dust has settled, and I mean, like, the highs were high, the lows were low, as Brandon was saying, and I'm just left somewhere in the middle trying to make sense of all of this.
Yeah, I felt like I was the opposite of the house because their lows are my highs and their highs are my lows, but we'll get into all that because this was a lot to talk about near the end of it, but we're not going to say anything about that now because we have a lot to talk about from the beginning of the episode where they're all on a high. They re-enter the house. They got their 8 beams from the week before. Anthony's leading a nice solid toast about the anticipation to come. And then we get our first glimpse of Layden and Brandon and Ashley discussing what the switch may be. And Brandon, really, they're assuming that the Ashley switch may be the one they need. And Ashley seems to be all pro Dario at this moment.
Which, I mean, it's great. It's like the moment we've all been waiting for is to, like, Ashley admit that she likes Dario, like, let go of Layden. But, no, I definitely enjoyed seeing the Dario and Ashley story unfold more this episode.
Yeah, it was basically what the viewers were hoping for. They want Ashley just to realize what type of person that Layden is, and it seemed like this episode had finally all clicked. And then we get a conversation that I cannot believe that we're seeing in the finale, but Tyler drops the biggest truth bomb that we've been discussing basically for the past couple episodes since this revelation was declared, that why would you pick Christina, is basically what she says. And it makes perfect sense.
Which is just like, I mean, it begs the question, did they know this the whole time? Like, were they talking about this the whole time and we just didn't see it because we as viewers weren't privy to the information that if Christina sits out, she gets the money, so she would be a willing participant in that. My whole thoughts on this conversation were just like, why are we even talking about this when it would be so obvious that Christina's not getting picked?
That's what you would think would be, like, that would be like the common sense move. And that, again, it's like, this is a conversation that I feel like maybe they just really just took this from like the second day. But I mean, based on what they were all wearing, it doesn't seem like that's the case. But it's just amazing that this is literally a conversation that is happening leading into the final matchup ceremony when this should have been like the first thing that they discussed. But that is a story for, I don't know, another day, another season.
For our first podcast, which you can go back and listen to it. It was there.
Exactly. And then we get the big mastermind, Anthony. He's got it all figured out once again.
I mean, I feel like it's this whole episode, the theme was like, Christina's going to sit out, Christina's going to sit out, Christina's going to sit out. Like, we've got it. And the whole time they kept hinting that, like, you know, they're drilling this in as though it's not the most obvious thing and maybe it won't happen. And I just kept thinking, like, this buildup cannot be real. Like, this is a red herring. This buildup just can't be real. This is so stupid. Like, you're wasting the end of the episode on this. But, you know, I was wrong.
Yeah, I mean, it really felt like one of those, like, episodes of Survivor where it's, like, a clear boot and they're just throwing around, like, oh, maybe we'll flip the game and vote out this person when it's so clear that that's not going to happen at all. They're just kind of trying to make a little drama. But sometimes, never doubt the mind of a 22-year-old person inside of a stressful house. That's all we have to say.
It was literally, though, as if somebody in Survivor was like, I'm going to vote myself out. No. I'm going to vote myself out, like, self-destruct a game, and, like, no one gets the money. that's what would have to happen. I'm going to, like, take my torch and burn Jeff Probes, and then the game.
No, not Probes.
Like, no, but you know what I mean? It's like, I'm going to set fire to tribal council. Like, that's what I'm going to do. Like, that's my vote tonight. And it's like, if they were, like, hammering that home the whole time and we were expected to believe that.
Oh, basically, so, that would make more sense than what eventually happened. But, oh boy.
Moving off of Layden for a second, because I just can't live. Okay, so with the Nate and Ellie stuff is also kind of, like, you know, granted less important this episode, but definitely a theme of the whole episode. And it starts with Nate's, like, candid to the camera, like, there's no chance of anything relational happening with Ellie. Like, she's amazing. She's just not my type. Like, I think it's Nate's immaturity where that he's being so honest. Like, I think Anthony was very, very careful never to say, like, that just point blank. Like, he was always really sweet about it, always really respectful to her about it. It was obvious, but it was kind. Nate is just like looking straight in the camera like, oh, it's never gonna happen. She's not my type. Like, sorry. She's amazing. And then we get him saying to her directly, like, you're just like my best friend. And at first I thought he meant like, you're my best friend, mm-hmm. but he was literally comparing her to his best friend at home.
Right. Yeah.
And
no, go ahead.
No, go ahead.
I was just saying the comparison with what Anthony did is pretty good, because it seemed like Anthony, when he friend zoned Ellie, was doing it in like a respectful way where you could see that he clearly does care about her, just maybe not in that way. The way Nate was doing it, it was like he wanted to seem better than her. It's like, oh, I would never go for Ellie. I'm clearly better than her. I can do a lot better, like Christina or Shelby, so there's no way I'll go for Ellie. And that was just not like a good way to do it, I guess would be the phrasing.
I do believe that, like, Nate sees, like, everything he wants in Ellie to a certain extent. Like, everything he says about her is kind. Like, I really believe that they get along well. I mean, I never would have put them together, but he has a lot of fun with her. He seems more relaxed with her. I mean, he's less crazy. I think Nate actually needs to be the person in a relationship who likes the other person less, because he's always seems to be the person who likes the other person more.
Right.
And I think that would allow him to, like, be himself and chill out a little bit. Like, how much more have you liked Nate in these past few episodes with Ellie than you have with him with Shelby?
Oh, absolutely. Because you can see that he's not, like you said, he's not as obsessive. And that's, I can't imagine ever watching someone who's obsessive and that being an appealing quality. So for him being a little standoffish is a little better, but I feel like here he just went like the other end.
No, but he's not that huge asshole who's calling out Christina. He's not this emotional like time bomb. He's not slutchy. Like, he's just not as emotionally riled up, whereas mm-hmm. and he can like relax. I mean, it's kind of like how I felt about Jenny when she was with John. Like, it's kind of seemed like a breath of fresh air. And so Nate was completely more watchable with Ellie, like, because of his feelings for her. And I also think because they had a real connection. But it's just a shame that Nate is like relegating her into this like ugly duckling corner, which I don't really get, because Ellie's not ugly at all.
Wow.
Like, Nate could do a hell of a lot worse, and probably has done worse,
right,
and doesn't want to say.
Yeah, when he's a 13-year-old prime, I don't think he was getting any Ellie's.
Question from Andrew Kirk, 2-part question. We'll revisit the second part later. Are you guys as tired as I am of Ellie getting friend-zoned? First Aunt, now Nathan.
Yeah, I mean, I love Ellie. Ellie's great, but it's a shame. Like, she's just the person who didn't really have that strong connection. I mean, there were a couple of people in this house this time around that never really developed like a strong connection with anyone, or at least a reciprocation of the strong connection. It's a shame, because Ellie was pretty awesome.
Let's get real, Brian.
Let's get real.
Because pre-show, for anyone who didn't listen to our pre-show podcast, Brian picks Ellie number one, like, to the point where I was a little worried for her, because he was getting a little Nathan about it. Like a little stalkerish. Like, she's my number one, 100% far and away. Like, number one, like, you know, top pick, hottest girl. Then he sees the show, and on the first actual episode of this podcast, immediately says, she's like, my opinion has changed, but I still love her. You friend zoned her as a viewer on the podcast. So let's get real. When you're saying it's first Brian, then Anthony, then Nathan. Now I'm gonna ask you that question again. Are you tired of everyone friend zoning her?
I still say yes, because I should. I'm a mean person too. You're right. I own up to it. I own up to it. I cop to it. See, I can admit when I do something.
I am the one, episode one, who left her there. I know it's a different situation, obviously, but still, kudos to me. Poo on you.
Poo poo on me. Okay, we're making this really PG.
Hashtag poo poo.
There we go. Oh boy, we're off to a rocket start.
So, what frustrates me about as we continue here is, like, just from the conversations people are having, and Leighton especially, it's like they still think if they don't like the person that they're not their match. Like, Nathan and Ellie both go through this, like, where Ellie's like, oh, then he's not my match. Like, he's not my match. And it's like, well, no, he is your match. Maybe you don't want to pursue this after the show. Like, there seems to be no distinction for this cast between who your perfect match is by MTV's, you know, choices, and who you'll want to date or be with or hook up with.
Right. It almost feels like if they feel that if they're ruled not a perfect match, the other person will not want to try to pursue anything after the show. When, I mean, they easily could. You know, Brandon and Christina, they can pick things up where they left off. Curtis and Brie, all these people. But, yeah, it's like they feel like that's it. Even if I want to, the other person's not going to want to because they was ruled a perfect match or not a perfect match.
Or even if you're, yeah, if you're not into them, then they're not your perfect match. Well, like, not true. Not true. They're your right. perfect match the day you walked in there, whether you liked them or not.
They were your perfect match even before you walked in there.
They were your perfect match forever.
Forever.
The competition.
Yes. This was like, I think I tweeted this. It was just basically a ripoff from a challenge final back in the day. The first challenge that I ever watched was the island, and this was basically the final. They had to make a raft out of some materials. This was obviously a lot easier, but that's basically what they had to do. They had to build a raft and go rescue their damsels in distress across the sea.
That's what, no, yeah, I was like, this is very challenge-esque. I couldn't cite the challenge, but I mean, there have been a few things similar to this at least. But the difference is, and I know people, I'm sure, are ready for me to get on them about it being literally like the guys rescuing the girls. My issue has never been like a feminist one, although there's definitely points to be made. My issue is just like, I don't like only watching the guys. Like, I want right. the girls to be represented. So I don't care about the format. If it's like, the girls need you, help them. Like, that's not what bothers me. That's a conversation for a different podcast. But what bothers me is like that the girls don't get to do anything this whole season, athletically, like physical or, you know, for the most part. One thing about this challenge, though, that wouldn't have been so bad is that we see like snippets of challenges, competitions. Like these challenges are like 5 minutes, whereas on the challenge, this would be part one or part 0.5 of a challenge. Or like, I remember there were certain times where they had to like take a boat and then take puzzle pieces back. Then the girl did the puzzle. Then the girl had to dig. Like, do you know what I mean? Like, I feel like they do these one-sided things and then the girls have to do it too. And it makes it much more interesting because it matters than who your partner is.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. And even like, obviously, because this isn't like a competition show, they're obviously not going to go to that extreme. But I think you brought this up a few weeks ago that it would have just been cool if they didn't declare the guys have to build the raft to go save the girls. Like, what if they paired up and they said, decide who wants to build the raft and go to the other side and then paddle back? It would have been, I think, maybe a couple of the women would have been the ones building the raft. I mean, it just would have been interesting to have that option for them to decide.
I totally agree. The one thing I liked about this competition, I think for the most part, I do want to see stuff like that. But what I did like is that the partners were determined by the first person to get there.
Right.
And that's normally wouldn't be that interesting. In the beginning, that would be a very interesting competition. Now, at this stage in the game, it should be ridiculous that that's even a thing.
Mm-hmm.
But the fact that Layton was viewing it as like a competition to beat Dario to get Ashley to like prove to her when she didn't even want to be picked by him. Now, I don't know how clear that was to Layton, but I just thought that was an interesting aspect that it had to. Once you got there, and I wish this was used earlier in the season, that once you got there, then you said, I want to take Tyler. Or I want to take whatever.
Yeah, because basically the only people who were debating about who to pick were Layton and Dario, right? I think everyone else had a clear mind on who they were picking. So you're right. If this was done like week two or three, it creates a whole different dynamic.
One thing that the guys doing the whole challenge was definitely made up for by the girls mocking them in the middle. Like, I loved Brianna being like, the middle?
What, the comment that stuck out to me is, when was it determined that Nate is a mechanic? Was that, did we discuss this at all, like, in his priest, that this was, like, his occupation?
Unclear.
Because that, like, came out of, like, Ellie's like, Nate's supposed to be some kind of mechanic. I'm like, mechanic? Nate? There's no way. I would not trust it with my car.
We never got any sort of bio on their like occupations, I don't think. Unless in those bios that they released after our podcast, which I skimmed, that it doesn't jump out at me. But it definitely wasn't in his Twitter bio, mechanic. But he does remind me, for any Seinfeld fans out there, of the mechanic that gets too emotionally attached to your car and steals it because you're not treating it right. Like that I definitely buy Nate as that the emotional mechanic.
You could end that with any type of occupation and just put emotional in front of it. I can see him doing that.
Haley Strong asks, which guy would you want to rescue if you were stranded on a deserted island?
I believe that question should be directed to you.
Why? I will rescue a girl too. I know who it is. It's Brandon for
of
you.
Of course it's Brandon.
So I don't know why you're shying away from the question.
Because it's an
you
easy answer.
To any sort of...
It's an easy answer for me. That's why I'm passing the question along to you.
You know what? I would have had to think about this a little bit because, like, no one's... I'm not really into anyone this season. I don't have any really favorite guys anymore. I mean, look at it. Like, Moosty was my fave preseason. And, he let me down a little bit. He was okay.
That's not Layton, even his last name.
Layton was my favorite episode one. So, you know, there that goes. And then I'm going to have to go purely based on this challenge, Garland. Because Garland looked very, very good on that raft. And Haley Strong, question asker, can back me up on that because she agreed.
I was just too busy watching
on
spin
Twitter.
Around in circles, and then they cut to, like, really, like, clear, like, basically Ryan standing in front of, like, a green screen, like, him commenting. That was so distracting to me for this competition. Like, it may not have been a green screen, but it was so clear, like, they said, Ryan, we need you to go back out later today to, like, make some comments, so just go back. We'll stand in this one spot and don't move, and then just say some stuff. We'll cut it in later.
Well, one thing that I really am happy that we've achieved is my literal thought on the challenge title was I'm not going to dignify this with a
No, I wasn't planning. Yeah.
No. Like, I'm not going to dignify talking about this. So, like, good for us. We got questions about it. I removed them.
Yeah.
Just thanks for asking the questions, guys. But terrible, terrible challenge title. Embarrassing delivery. Terrible everything.
Oh, Ryan.
So let's get into this, though, this Layton contest with Dario a bit.
Sure.
To the point where Layton is with a broken paddle, which is a total metaphor for the way he's been this entire game, is like Layton's always like a paddle short. Mm-hmm. But he's like the mole. I felt like I was watching The Mole. For anyone who didn't watch The Mole, it's like one person gets paid, or it's like the saboteur in Big Brother. It's like someone's dropped in and paid to sabotage things, and everyone else has to figure out who it is.
100% agree. And I not only thought about, like, thought that this was it, I thought that that would actually be an amazing idea for season 3. Like, what if you had 11 guys and 10 girls, and one of the guys was strictly a mole? There
well,
to just,
the no-match guy is
yeah.
also a mole.
Like, how awesome would that be if this one guy is basically just trying to kamikaze the entire season? I think that would be awesome.
I mean, we watched it. We watched it
yeah.
happen. And I feel like it was, like, a little bit of Brandon at the beginning, and then Layton took it home for us. I mean, at least hopefully Layton's getting paid for this saboteur work. Like, he's an Are You the One terrorist. I tweeted that. I think that was my most popular tweet of my life. Because it's true. Like, he's making these, like, ridiculous... The fact that this isn't predetermined, and we have a question about this, the fact that the results of this aren't predetermined to strategically put people into the truth booth is absurd. The fact that Layton is... I guess it doesn't really matter if Layton and Ashley go in or Dario and Ashley go in.
I guess not, but it matters to the point because we don't really know what they know. So let's say it was Layton and Ashley and they were ruled not a match. I don't think they would definitively know then necessarily to switch Ashley to Dario because, I mean, what if Ashley could have been with someone else?
Well, then you would leave Ashley with Dario. You would then – yeah, because you know what? You ideally would want to put in someone who was matched up at the last ceremony.
Yeah.
Oh, no, Ashley and Layton were matched up at the last ceremony. I'm sorry. So that would tell you who would be broken up.
I guess that's true.
I guess they kind of got lucky that it's Dario and Ashley in that sense.
Right. I mean,
still.
Yeah. I mean, it's just tough because it's like, so it was weird because it's just so obvious to us watching this episode, like what needs to happen and just like so frustrating to hear them like debating all this stuff about all the possibilities. And I imagine like 80% of the audience is sitting there saying like, what are they talking about? Like, just do this one thing and it's over.
No, I totally agree. And I think to a certain extent, like, they knew that. I mean, when it came down to the matchup ceremony, like, they knew that.
Yeah.
So Dario wins, picks Ashley, Layton picks Tyler, and he says to the camera, because if he picks Christina, someone will go home. Yeah, like, he would get voted into the truth booth
right.
with Christina. Like,
because Layton
bullshit.
Has control over everything.
And then Layton and Tyler are in second place, and Anthony and Alex are on the date. In third place, Nick Fishman wants to know, in the raft challenge, why did it seem like no one was thinking about throwing it for the better of the group? Is the observatory trip really worth losing $1 million?
I mean, we've been pushing this idea the entire season that they should try to do this basically every challenge. And the weird thing is, in the beginning of the season, you can make the case that there's no real reason to fix challenges because they have no idea. Like, the first 4 or 5 weeks, you really have no idea for any of these people. But by the last 3 weeks is when you really should be trying to fix it. And those are the competitions that they've made it so that you can't easily fix. It's almost like MTV was saying, here, fix it, help. This may have been like their indirect help, and they just never picked up on it.
Do you think that they try, though, and that, like, Leighton stands in the way? Like, similar to how they were trying to, like, do matchups strategically, and Paris was like, I'm picking Pratt. Like, I'm not doing that. I think that's who did it in the beginning. Yeah, like, yeah, do you think that they try, and Leighton was like, I'm gonna get Ashley anyway?
I think maybe it's tossed around, like, before they go to the competition, and they may be like, hey, we should do this, we should do that. And then once it gets going, everyone's just like, screw this, I want to win. And a lot of the times, maybe for earlier, like, the dates were pretty cool. Even this one seemed, I don't know, depending upon your take on this one, it's kind of cool. But I think people just want to win. They just want to look the coolest and just be the best in whatever they're doing. I think that's basically what it comes down to.
Well, the date is cool because it was in James Bond.
Of course. The best is when Ryan's described, like, when he first says where they're going, they all look so excited. Meanwhile, not one of them have any idea what this place is. There's no way anyone has ever heard of that place.
In fairness, like, I didn't know what it was. I thought it was going to be a literal, like, science observatory. So I was just like, he has to dumb it down. He has to be like, don't worry, guys, that's cool. Like, it was in James Bond.
Right.
But, I mean, he could have said, like, it's an observatory and then explained more about what it was rather than wasting the line on it was in James Bond. So, cool.
This is Ryan. He needs to sound, he's the one who drops F-bombs and
James Bond. That's the one thing I'm not looking forward to at the reunion is, like, Ryan live hosting? And unfiltered, not live, but, like, you know what I mean? Like, not as heavily edited.
Oh, I think it's even more edited because I think he basically has a script written on, like, a teleprompter for him.
Yeah. Well, the script is fine, but I just feel like he can more easily go rogue. We'll see. Hopefully you're right. Hopefully he sticks to the script. So then with Ellie and Nate here, Nate is like the most immature, awkward person about him not liking Ellie. And I just can't, like, we talked about it with Anthony, like, how cool he was about it and how he handled it and still continues to handle it. And Nate is like, I mean, Shelby handled Nate much better than Nate handles Ellie. And Ellie's not even being crazy. She's like, let's go skinny dipping with me. And right. Nate's like, go skinny dipping with Anthony, go get Anthony. And it's like, just be straight with her and stop being so, like, so immature. I don't know. What do you make of this?
I just think, to take a phrase from what Christina said last week, I think Nate is just still butthurt about what happened with Christina and just taking it out on Ellie. Like, he's like, screw it. If I can't get Christina, then I don't really want to be with Ellie. So I'm just going to make myself seem cool with her and, like, throw her to the side, basically. I think that's like what he's doing, basically.
Yeah, I mean, I think his ego is definitely inflated. I mean, he's been rejected twice, like, horribly. This mm-hmm. and better than he's rejecting Ellie, but I just mean, like, he's faced two tough rejections, and he's now, like, loving this. It's like Mr. Ego that someone's pursuing him that he doesn't like, and it's just like, get over it. Like, no one's impressed.
No, absolutely not. Absolutely not.
Then we get the death threat heard around the world.
Yeah, Ellie tries to go flirting with Anthony, and then we see Alexandria, which this kind of takes a whole new meaning, saying that she wants to have some fun with Anthony, and Ellie's not too pleased with that.
Do y'all bitches want to die?
If there's one thing I'm going to miss from this show, it's Ellie saying bitches. Because I can never, like, unhear that way to say it again, and every time I hear that word, I'm just going to think of Ellie. So, she's got that lasting legacy.
So we'll get to it later because everyone's, like, furious. But I want us to err on the side of Ellie here, but I think she's, like, completely overreacting.
Yeah, it happened more so during, like, the matchup ceremony. But this was, like, the first time I was like, Ellie, no, you were so close to be, like, on the right this whole season. And then I guess they're just jealousy and frustration took over, but yeah, this was not the best of spots for Ellie.
And it only gets worse from there. But unfortunately, we have to friggin' go back to Leighton.
This was the most cringeworthy, the cringiest. I don't know the proper way to say this, but the cringiest conversation I've ever experienced in my life because it's just what we know, and even looking back on it, what eventually happens. It's just brutal.
I mean, it's just all like, what? Like, first of all, they're both like saying like they wanted to be with each other, just Brandon and Jess both were distractions.
Yeah.
What?
I'll say this about Christina. She really knows how to manipulate people. Like, she knows how to say the thing to the person that they really want to hear to get them to do it. I don't know if this is really what she wanted, but just to be get them on your side. Like, if she ever became, like, some type of, like, just, I don't know, like a lawyer or something like that, or just to, like, manipulate people with her words, she would be great at it. Because she's just killing it this season with getting people on her side to do, like, her bidding.
Well, she tweeted, like, they were doing, like, an Ask Christina, and was like, what's one thing you learned, would do differently, whatever. And she basically tweeted, like, I wouldn't have told people what they wanted to hear. And then she also tweeted that if she was, like, a regular player, not the 11th girl, she would have played it differently. But, like, at what point, maybe this whole time she's just actually, like, a people pleaser and just in her daily life tells people what they want to hear? Because what does she have to gain at this point in the game? Like, for assuming that, like, it's not through the magic of television and this is the order that things happened, they already know that Layton's not going into the truth booth. Well, I guess Layton could go into the truth booth with Tyler, but, like, yeah. But it doesn't matter because he's already matched up. Like, the damage is done. He can't do anything to help her win money where she wouldn't win it anyway. Like, picking her at the end does not help them win money. So what does she have to gain by doing this? Like, I think she's genuinely caught up in these moments and, like, tells people things to make them happy and connects with them and then goes and makes out with Brandon because that's who she really likes. And when they're like, what? She's like, oh, no, I like him. I never said I didn't.
Yeah. That's why it's just the whole conversation. You just say stop. It just, everyone just walk away. Just pretend it doesn't happen. Like, just move on. Go back to the people you want to be with. And again, Layton can only connect with someone by trying to tear down the person that they're initially connected to.
Thank you.
It's every time, whoever he's doing it with. First, he did it with Anthony to Jenny. Then he did it to Ashley with Dario. And now here about Brandon calling him a pebble or whatever. Like, just talk about, like, yourself and try to connect with someone on, like, an individual level, not trying to push the other guy down to jump over them. Oh, God, Layton.
Agreed. Oh. moving swiftly on.
Please.
Alex and Anthony. Alex with the pickup line of the night. I suck at dating.
Yeah, that's beautiful. Yeah, I mean, I think TMZ has a reason why she sucks at dating.
Yeah, let's just cover this bit and we can jump to that because, so she starts into this, like, I like you, but I didn't want to say anything because of Ellie. And Anthony's just like, oh, don't worry about that. Like, what she should be worried about is that last episode, Anthony very clearly said, I don't like you.
that's exactly what she should be worried about. And also, like, weren't the Ellie and Anthony thing not really a thing until, like, episode, like, 5 or whatever? So why wouldn't she have done something before? Or, I don't, the whole
Well, Alex wasn't there until about episode 5.
That's fair. That's fair. Her and Garland just kind of dropped in mid-season.
So then Alex goes webcam on Anthony. And Andrew Styles wants to know, and I think this is where he's talking about it. I'm not sure. I need your expert opinion here. Can we get a ruling, return of the BJ cam or introduction of the HJ cam?
I don't think it was either of those cams. I think it was just regular boom, boom, boom cam. But I don't know. They didn't, like...
I agree. I think she was doing some weird webcam stuff that we can't even keep up with. And they just, like, decided to, like, let's the sheet over it and we don't even want to show it.
Yeah, I don't know. Maybe she was setting up some samples or something. Who knows?
We can jump to that while we're on it. I had it in my news.
No, we have a whole new segment. We'll save it for the news segment.
Okay.
Keep it professional.
Yeah. More on that at 11. Like, what is it? That was, like, confusing.
It's 10 p.m. Do you know where your children are?
Yeah. All right. Twinning. Okay. So then we get to the date.
I mean, do we have to?
Well, this is what bothered me is that Layton has some line where he's saying, like, the beams don't lie. We got the most beams ever when him and Ashley were a match. And it's like, but you were the no match. Like, I don't know. He also says something later, and I'll get to it. Like, I mean, I'll say it now. Like, later he says, like, you don't necessarily know, like, which match moves need to be made. Or, like, yes, you do. Like, he doesn't understand the game. Like, he's saying we got the most beams ever, so that's more evidence that we're a match. If anything, 8 beams is such evidence that you and Dario were with the wrong people. Right.
It's like, it's either he has basically no concept of just how things work in the world, or he's just such an egomaniac that he's, like, formulated his own planet, and he's just, like, living there.
Yeah, it's called Big Country.
Hashtag? Yeah, I'm not even saying the hashtag. I'm not giving any plugs.
You're right. Nothing else happens on this date, but what's really interesting is that the vote happens basically just to shut Leighton up. Like, everyone's rationale as they, like, press the button is, like, Leighton will finally see you're not a match. Like, just so that Leighton shuts the hell up. Like, I loved that.
Yeah, absolutely. And, of course, Leighton says, oh, well, if they're a match, you know, I'll be happy for them. Of course you'll be happy for them. That guarantees you winning. It should guarantee you winning anyway.
That sent chills down my spine. For some reason, the way he was like, if they're a match, I'll be happy for them. Like, I just made me think of, like, a murderer. Like, it just, oh, it felt so disgusting. Like, that was the worst thing that he's ever said in the whole season, because it just, literally, I got goosebumps from it in a bad way.
Maybe he's, like, this is gonna be the star of, like, Scream 7.
One thing that was great, and we always get questions, I'm surprised we didn't get questions about the reaction this episode, because it was hilarious. Like, the pre-commercial, like, drum roll for the truth booth, Ashley and Dario in the truth booth, is, like, so clearly Ashley and Dario waiting.
Yeah.
And then Leighton's positive reaction, like, he promised he would give. Like,
exactly.
Like, it was so manipulated. It was so funny to me.
They're better off just showing, like, no reaction and then cutting to commercial rather than trying to, like, play with their heads and showing, like, the complete extreme and then going back to, like, what actually happened. Yeah, because I think they show, like, Ashley, like, dropping her head, like, supposedly in shame, but she was probably just bored from standing there for, like, a half hour.
Yeah, no, I mean, and then they show, somebody pointed this out, I forget who it is, sorry that I'm not giving you credit, but you can always tell the way, and I never noticed this before, and now that's episode 10, you know, I don't know if we talked about this, but, like, the yellow bar goes all the way across the screen when it's a match, and when it's no match, it's, like, truncated. So before commercial, you can see the yellow bar, and if it's all the way across the screen, it's a match.
Oh, I don't think I ever noticed that.
Yeah, it's so clear this one, too, because the bar goes all the way across, and then when they show Christina is not a match with Dario, it's, like, truncated.
I'm just still annoyed about whenever they still, again, when they put up perfect match, they still just show X match. So, like, it's just show the screen. It's so perfect. I want to see perfect.
And then, of course, Leighton is now saying, oh, Christina and Tyler are still options. Like, this goes back to me saying, like, you can't pick your perfect match. Like, they're not still options. Like, they're not options for you to choose, the fact that you've used Christina as a choice. And there's no more time to, like, call these people, like, to pretend you're going to have a connection with them. At that point, like, give up and go for the money.
Yeah, and not only is Tyler not an option, she's your perfect match. Like, it's,
yeah.
it's 100%. Like, Christina is still, like, an option, but Tyler is 100% your perfect match. Not an option.
So then we go through the Are You the One rites of passage.
Yes, I had the exact quote down. Oh, you stole it. Yes, I was going to say this is rites of passage.
Didn't steal it, everyone. I don't have any access to Brian's computer.
I write this down on a piece of paper. I go old school.
So we start with the 11th girl montage. Then we get, like, it juxtaposed with them all, like, jumping in the pool, friends forever. General reflections. Ellie feels like she got her whole heart back. Wish we got that heartbreak story before that. You know, it's like we're getting these, like, life-changing stories when we didn't get the information.
Right. I did enjoy the 11th girl kind of, like, reflection of seeing, like, Bree and Jess hating on her and now seeing, like, they're best of friends. That was kind of cool because the 11th girl, Christina, is the story of this season. The fact that even, like, I think Ryan said it at the end, like, she made it all the way. Like, she never was limited. She went bounced around to, like, a bunch of guys, but really always had, like, Brandon in the back. And it's like, she was really, like, the story of the season. So it was good to kind of get a little closed book story on her.
No, don't get me wrong, I liked the rites of passage. I just wish that I knew more about the beginning stories so that I could really connect with this. Although, I felt myself getting really sad during this part. Like, when Brianna's saying, I wouldn't kill myself if Brandon was my match, or just, like, this changed my life. And watching them all, like, I felt sad just because of how sad I would feel having to leave the situation. Like, I get really sad leave it, like when things change. And this is like, they'll never be back here again. I mean, unless someone pops out a baby. But in general, like, they'll never have this again. And it made me sad.
Yeah, this is almost even worse than graduating like high school or college, because at least in that situation, you can always, it's a lot easier to round up a little reunion with all your friends, because either you're still in the same town or you're like, you all live within a general area. Here, like, this is, unless, of course, like, they eventually go on to the challenge, but even then, that's still a whole different environment with a whole new people. This is literally like a once-in-a-lifetime experience, and it had to be like the best 6 weeks, whatever it is, that they've ever had. So yeah, it's like everyone was signing like their yearbooks at the end of it.
We got a question on Twitter from, I think it was AF4, but I accidentally deleted the name, so sorry. Why aren't they acting like they know they won?
It's a very fair question. Even when, like, if I was in that situation, if I was in the house and Dario and Ashley were confirmed perfect match, how are you not, like, saying, oh my god, we won, it's over, we won, and we got it, we know all 10. How was that not, like, everyone's like, oh, now we're halfway to knowing all our perfect matches? Like, what are you talking about? You know all 10.
I guess it's one of those things where you don't know until you know. Like, you think you're almost positive, but, like, there's still doubt because it's still pressure. And maybe they were like that, but I don't think MTV would show that.
Right. I guess that's true.
Unless they didn't get it. Like, if they weren't going to get it at the end, we would see them jumping around. We got it.
The one little small thing that I picked up on during, like, the little rainstorm montage, I did enjoy Anthony's rock bottom to Brandon in the pool. I'm sure you don't even know what that means. But
excuse me. I watched WWE.
Okay.
The Big Show is my favorite wrestler. And I don't want to hear about any of your preconceived notions.
Right. I'm sorry for being judgmental. All right, you're a big Rock fan. But I'm just saying, to all the WWE fans, go back and watch that scene. He does a fantastic rock bottom, and Brandon sells it very well. So shout out to them.
And go back and on Twitter, because Anthony says, like, did you guys catch that rock bottom? And I almost liked it because I thought he was talking about him hooking up with Alex.
I gotta say, Anthony, it's amazing. With the thing about where I started with my feelings on Anthony and Leighton, how they basically have flipped from episode 1 to now. Because Anthony's like top 3 for me for favorite guys in the house. I think it's him, Dario, and Brandon. Those are my top 3, 100%.
Yeah, no, I love Anthony now. And we'll get back more into that later on, like, who we want to see in the future. But yeah. No, I couldn't agree more. Like, completely, those have flipped for me.
Absolutely.
Then we get the one honeymoon suite part that I actually was happy to have seen.
Yeah, this was actually the most interesting conversation I think we've ever had from the honeymoon suite or the honeymoon resort.
I thought you were going to say from Tyler and Paris in general.
Well, that too. But yeah, them discussing basically what they're going to do after this, which was, I don't know, I found kind of interesting, because this is a conversation you do have a lot of times when you have like a reality show relationship, basically whose place do you go to? Because it's not like you're meeting someone at a bar like in your hometown, like you're in Puerto Rico, so you got to decide where you're going.
They're talking about moving in together, or both of them moving to the same place. Unclear in the same place, in the same house or not. But.
I mean, I would assume so, right? Why would they both move to California together, but in separate places?
ASS, you and me. No, I don't know. It's true. But this is like in such stark contrast to, did you watch a deleted scene this week?
I did.
Oh my God. So poor Jess. Jess and Leighton are having the same conversation where like, Jess, similar to Paris, brings it up, like, what are we doing after this? And then offers, like, you know, I'll be there in a heartbeat. Like, you know, we're going to see each other. And Leighton is radio silence.
Yeah, Jess even, like, comments on, like, the long pause that Leighton has when he does not answer the question of, like, what's their plan after this? Because basically the long pause, Jess, meant, I hope to never have to do this with you again.
I mean, it sucks because she's, like, it's such a long pause, and I'm like this too. Like, a lot of people, when someone's like pausing like that, will just fill the silence. So she's like, oh my God, your mom's going to hate me. Like, da, da, da. Mm-hmm. And that's the end of the conversation, because it gets so uncomfortable that she takes it in a different direction. I wish she just like stared him down with her eyes and just like locked in until he finally said something. Like, get him to lie again. Like, he's such a liar. Like, let's hear it again on the camera for one more time. For old time's sake.
There's plenty of more stuff with him coming. But even though that may have been the more interesting deleted scene, ghost story deleted scene was legitimately one of the top 5 funniest things from this season. And I cannot understand why it was not part of the show. I was legitimately laughing out loud.
That's my takeaway for like 90% of the deleted scenes is why wasn't that a part of the show.
Like, for anyone who hasn't watched it, like, go to MTV.com and watch like this 2-minute scene of them basically thinking like a ghost is taking over the house and coming to kill them all. It was fantastic.
I also feel that way about the challenge. I mean, not to get too far off, but like the shit they should have shown when they do that. Like, yeah. There are so many times where I wish I saw a little bit less of the actual challenge. Just a little bit. I know.
I agree. No,
like,
I agree.
And watch like something interesting or funny or friendly happening in the house.
Yeah. Totally agree.
I could have cut the whole date on this part and seen the ghost stories.
Yeah. Once again, like the date, like, is always by far the worst part of these episodes. Like, very rarely is there like, oh, that was actually really interesting. Most of the time it's like just fluff and just cool. Like, basically cool seeing what they're doing. But, like, usually the conversations don't amount to much.
So, are we ready to go into the matchup ceremony?
The one thing that I wanted to just take another shot at Leighton being a complete idiot. I don't remember who he was talking to. I think he was talking to Dario. He was like, you know, I had these, like, two choices with Christina and Tyler. And I don't want to make the wrong choice. And I'm, like, screaming at my television. Well, not literally. Screaming in my head and screaming on Twitter, writing in all caps. There is no choice. Just pick Tyler, you buffoon.
I mean, this is actually the moment where I was like, this buildup just can't be real. Like, it just can't be. But, all right, so we get into the matchup. And they first go to Alex and Jasmine. And someone calls out from the people Ellie. Still on the show. It was Ellie. Yeah, like, how's the sex? Like, you told me you would tell me. And Alex and Jasmine says, it's more than just my heart. I'm opening up. Ew. Like, and then she nuzzles Alex. Like, that comment does not lead to a nuzzle. Like, I don't know if these people, like, forget that they're on the show.
I think by this point they forget cameras are there. I think you just have to be somewhat accustomed to, like, this life that they have to forget cameras are there and just, there's just no filter, just saying whatever's on their mind.
And I don't even think, like, I didn't feel this way about, like, when Jenny was like, oh, like, I gave him it, or whatever she said. Like, it's just the way, the, like, graphic nature of Jasmine's comment, like, just rubbed me the wrong way.
Especially, like, I didn't expect that at all from her. I don't know why, but I just didn't get that sense that she would be the one to say that.
Oh, I don't know. Like, she constantly talked about their sexual chemistry, their sexual tension, their she's satisfied, blah, blah, blah. So, like, she was talking about this literally the whole time. But I just didn't like, if she said it like that, like, oh, I'm satisfied, or whatever she wanted to say that she said in the past, great. This was, like, a little gross.
Yeah, agreed.
Overshare.
Agreed.
All right, so you ready for the picks?
So, yeah, just quickly, I don't think we even did this last week, but since this is all the correct matches, we have Bree and Brandon, Alex and Anthony, Jess and Garland, Tyler and Leighton, Ellie and Nate, and then the grand poobah, Christina and Leighton, with, of course, Leighton sticking with Christina.
So, one thing I just want to go back to is Alex and Anthony is, like, Anthony all of a sudden is saying, like, sometimes you have to wade through them, like, to get to the good person, kind of. Mm-hmm. And I'm just, like, shocked that he's saying this.
Yeah, I don't know. I know he said it. I don't know if he really meant it. I think maybe he was just trying to just be nice. I think maybe he does like Alex. Like, I don't know. Maybe Alex on the show is just, like, a cool person. I'm not going to judge her for her extracurricular activities. But just maybe on the show, he was a cool person for her to, like, kick it with, as they would say quite often. But so maybe he was just being nice to her. But I don't really think there was any feelings at all being developed there.
I think Alex is fine. I mean, Anthony and Alex can do whatever they want. I just, like, thought that Anthony was too smooth to be saying stuff like that in front of Jenny or anyone else. Like, I just think it's evidence that he, like, isn't leaving the house with any real, like, this to me, like, speaks volumes of, like, his connection with Jenny, like, not being an outside the show thing.
Right. Yeah, I mean, I think maybe if they were able to stay in the house together the whole time, or if they went to the honeymoon suite, there would be, like, maybe a 10% chance that it would continue outside the house. But the second Jenny left and Anthony was able to move on to, like, other people, there was a 0% chance this was going to continue.
I mean, I thought it was a zero from the jump, but I don't know. I just think that Anthony could have been like, I don't even think Anthony saying that they've hooked up was a problem. Like, I think Anthony, like, basically saying he, like, went through garbage to get to the prize. Like, I know he didn't say it in that bad of a thing, but that's what was said. But anyway, this is – so, yeah, let's get into this part where – I don't want to fall on the wrong side here and be against Ellie. But do Ellie, Jenny, or Jess have any right to be mad at Anthony?
No, I don't think so. And, of course, Paris has to, like, chime in. Like saying, like, just like Paris, just be quiet, worry about where you're living. But Ellie, yeah, Ellie, she's just, I think Ryan said it best, just like jealousy, sexual frustration, just everything just poured out in this. And she can only be perfect for so long. There has to be a crack.
I can't tell if people hated Alexandria during the show, after the show, or just now, but like people definitely don't like her currently. And I don't know that we've seen any reason for that except for the fact that she's just, like, non-existent.
I think that's the biggest thing. It seemed like on the house, like, Christina and Alexandria were, like, celebrating. They were like, oh, we did it with us both still here. Like, they were, like, it seemed like they were both genuinely happy for each other. There's some that they were still there. I just think it's – Alex is just, like, so distant from, like, the rest of this group. Like, she's just, like, so irrelevant for them that maybe she's just jealous that they're all still friends or something. I don't know. But she's just, like, definitely the outlier from the rest of this group.
So, then, God, Leighton again, everyone looks nice, everyone's dressed up, and Leighton again is not wearing a shirt under his jacket. Like, this is not a cool look. I thought he was doing, like, a John Jacobs funny costume thing, like, the first time he did it. Like, he really thinks that this is a good look for him, and it's embarrassing.
I mean, this is, like, the final ceremony. This is, like, the moment that will be, like, the screenshot of, like, this season, whether they win or lose. So, you would think you would be going in with, like, your best outfit, and this is what he chooses, so.
And then he frustrates me to no end when he picks Tyler, or Tyler picks Leighton, sorry, and then Leighton is like, well, the person she says she is, like, she hasn't shown me. And Mia Pia put it perfectly, because I was fuming at this. Thoughts on Leighton blaming Tyler for only making a connection week 10. When Tyler picked him at the matchup, he told Ryan that Tyler never showed him who she really was, and that's why it's taken him this long to potentially discover who his perfect match was. He then goes on to say, Tyler was probably confused this whole time. Is it always the girl's fault in Leighton's eyes? Clearly he thinks he can do no wrong.
I'm confused why he thinks Tyler was confused, because if my memory serves me correctly, he went through like three different people in the house and was 100% certain with every single one of them and was wrong every single time. So that's not the definition of confusion. Then I think Oxford needs to like update their dictionary.
I mean, it's like he has like revisionist history. I don't know. Like it's just always like selective memory with him. It's always the girl like, oh, you didn't approach me. You didn't show me yourself. Like you didn't like Leighton, like you were either in Jess's bed or like on Ashley's like tail. Like it was just absurd that he really truly, that's the sick thing, is that he really truly believes this. Like it's not, a normal person would be like, oh, it's a shame we didn't get to connect until week 10, like I was doing stupid things, she was doing stupid, like whatever. Like he literally blames her and believes it. Like he is the epitome of delusional.
Yeah, he views this show as the girls have to make the effort to come to him and not the other way around. And maybe that's why he always just tries to like bash down the other guys. But yeah, it's just amazing. Like his little planet that he must live on. It must be nice to live in Leighton land.
I would never want to live there.
It's nice for him.
So then Ellie and Nate, first of all, Nate is dressed. I tweeted this, but because I couldn't wait for the bar guest, but like Nate is dressed like the shrimpy kid at the bar mitzvah. Like he's just, or like if you ever watch like my Super Sweet 16 when they have the quinceanera and like the guy, they have to have a court and like it's like these like, there's like one shrimpy little guy who's in the like vest and purple shirt, like the colored shirt. And he just looks ridiculous. I mean, this is the least attractive he's ever looked to me.
Yeah, I agree. Least attractive he's ever looked to me too.
So there's like a showdown here where Ellie is like screaming, don't get me effing started on my perfect match. And then I don't, these people don't realize that what they've said to the camera is also going to be shown juxtaposed with what they're saying, like right. in the moment. And Nathan says, it's hard to make something sexual with Ellie because she's always in Anthony's bed or whatever she says. You just said to the camera, you have no interest in her. And now you're blaming her for pursuing someone who might be interested in her. Like, get over it, man up, and just tell her, as Ellie says, how you really feel. And that you're just friends. Just say it. Have the courage to say it and stop being a coward.
Yeah. And then he even goes further and says, like, oh, well, it's not like I was ever obsessed with someone like that. It's like, what are you talking about? What show are you on? Weren't you the one ready to quit in week two over Shelby? And weren't you the one punching the set last week over Christina? Like, they know there's cameras there, right? Like, they know this is a television show that those scenes are going to be shown, right? Right?
It was embarrassing. I mean, it was just, that was like the worst moment, I think, for Nate, because he thought it was like his best moment.
And that's saying a lot, because he's had some bad ones.
So that leads us to the shit show that is Christina's pick. And like, this part is literally soaked and dripping with daddy issues, and that Leighton thinks he's a daddy and it's an issue.
Yes. Like, it was to the point where it got really creepy.
Okay. Like, Christina is there, and is Christina into this? That's my number one question. Like, Christina's saying, oh, I need a rock. Like, he could be my rock, aka dad. And Leighton's like, yeah, I could be your rock. Let me show you how I could be your rock. Like, does she like this? Does she like this move from Leighton?
I don't, it's so tough to tell with Christina if she really is into something or if she's just always, even in this moment, always just playing the game of just getting people to like her. Or maybe this is just what she, like you said, maybe this is just what she does in real life, is just always making sure everyone always likes her. It's so tough. I can't get a read if she likes this or not.
Why does Ryan not go to her? Like, we get Tyler freaking out. Good for Tyler. Like, support to Tyler. We get Leighton's response. We get some of the peanut gallery. Why does he not say, Christina, like, are you into this? Like, are you swept away?
Yeah, I wanted her to say, like maybe we could be a match, but, like, you should not be picking me right now. This is ridiculous.
Like, she looks like she's smiling. I don't get it. Maybe she's flattered, but, like, geez. Flattered at what cost?
$47,000. Funny fact about that. Apparently, it is not $47,000. It really is $50,000. I saw Jenny tweeted that they all actually do get $50,000.
Well, then, side note, sidebar here.
Spoiler alert, they won.
Why did Shanley say it's actually 35 and then they tax that?
Maybe like the first cut of it is down to 35 and then it gets taxed further. I don't know. I was confused by that too. But regardless,
I guess because there are taxes like that are about 50%, but then you tax it further. I didn't realize. Okay.
Regardless, they're not millionaires.
So not even close. So a couple of Twitter reactions to Leighton's choice here. Garland says, at Leighton Jones, MTV, I just believe how dumb you are, in all caps. Paris says, selfish, arrogant, and fucking stupid. Good job, One Chains. I thought that was awesome. That was my favorite tweet of the season, I think, calling him One Chains.
That's pretty good.
All right, I think we have a ton of questions about this move.
This is basically like 90% of our questions were in some degree about this.
First of all, just a side note of a tweet I took from a while ago. Not a while ago, December 8th, because I thought it was so annoying.
That was yesterday.
It shows how... Well, this was before the show. That's why I think it's far away. Ellie and Leighton, and it's Leighton, how much Leighton sucks and how much Ellie's awesome. So Ellie tweets, Leighton Jones is the type of guy to take you out to dinner and order for you, quote, she'll have the side salad, light Italian. And then Leighton says, what a fox is the type of girl that will say, you're right, daddy, and can we go to the gym afterwards? Thanks for making me look great. Hashtag fitness.
Okay, there is zero chance Ellie's ever gonna has ever said or will ever say that phrase.
And the fact that a grown man like types that and is serious is really, really disgusting. Sorry.
No, that's the perfect word. He was disgusting.
I just can't get over it. You're right, daddy. Meanwhile, okay. Oh. Ellie then says, bitch, you know damn well we go into Bojangles. Ha ha ha. Which is apparently this breakfast place she's obsessed with. Road trip to Bojangles soon.
Let's do it.
And then Leighton's like, yeah, you're right. Then go to the gym. Hashtag fitness. As though hashtag fitness is like his tagline.
Hashtag bad. Hashtag do what you love. Hashtag fitness.
At least bad and do what you love probably aren't taken. Like hashtag fitness, I mean.
It's definitely fitness. Hashtag bad is also definitely taken. By the way, this is not the Twitter beef of the week, by the way. Stay tuned for that.
That's not even a beef. That's just like Ellie being more creative, funny, and realer. More real than Leighton and Leighton sucking. All right. So I think we have to play out both scenarios here. I think both of us have to accept, right, that I can at least confirm that I don't know if this was Leighton on his own devices or Leighton influenced by production, but we're going to go down both rabbit holes.
Right.
and be creating tons of fan fiction here, and that's fine.
Now, before we get to the Leighton side of it, unless this was part of it, do you want to get to, like, the Christina side of it? About her role in all this?
I feel like it's all... Yeah, sure, whatever you want.
Well, because I've seen some of the questions here, and this was a discussion point of, do you think Christina takes any of the blame for even just picking Leighton in this situation?
Yeah, so you're taking credit for your mom's question.
That's why I'm bringing it up. I want to make sure her question is not going to... She called me say, I want you to answer my question. So I made it a priority.
If you don't think I wouldn't have gotten to Plainview Sue's question, you aren't mistaken.
So
Reality Barbie on Twitter also asked this. Your mom, I have to read the question because she really gives it to Leighton. As much as I would have loved to have seen the cast pummel Leighton for his asinine decision, I'm happy for the rest of the group that they won the money. My question is this. Do you think Christina, knowing what an egomaniacal douchebag Leighton is, should have picked Anthony in the matchup ceremony? She knows Anthony wouldn't jeopardize the cast chance of winning. First of all, if this isn't evidence that we should get Plainview Sue on the podcast, I don't know what it is. I've said it to him before. Now it's on the air. But go ahead. Should she take some responsibility here?
I think, like, less than 1%. Less than 1% of the blame, basically. Her not picking him would be, like, beyond playing it safe. Like, her pick should have just been so negligible. It was just here I'm picking Leighton, and Leighton's like, all right, Christina, go to the side. Like, that should have been the extent of the conversation. Like, I can't put the blame on her. I can't.
I don't know. First of all, from what we've seen, I mean, for all we know, Christina said, this is the wrong decision. I hate you for this. Don't do this. I want the money. And they just cut it out. But she should have spoken up as soon as possible. And because it did seem like there was, like, a little bit of a lag where Leighton could have, like, changed his mind until Ryan was like, all right, lock in, enough.
That's actually what I thought was going to happen. I thought this whole thing was just going to be, like, a giant misdirect, and Leighton was going to be like, actually, you know what? I'm going to change my mind. I'm really glad it didn't happen, but I was afraid that was going to happen.
But then also, like, Leighton didn't keep this a secret. Leighton was talking to every single person in the house, like, oh, I have a decision. I don't know. Like, we just commented it on it this whole, you know, hour or whatever this podcast has been, is he didn't keep this a secret that he thought he had a choice here. And if they thought that there was a 1% chance that Leighton would go rogue, she should have picked Anthony. I don't know what her motivations were. I don't understand why she seemed to be in on it, seemed to be flattered by it. I don't get it. I don't know why she made such a sincere pitch as to why she was picking him. All of it confuses me. I don't know if it was production influence. I don't know if it was her and him, like, sincerely. But I have to put 50%. 50%.
Really?
I just think, why take the gamble? You said it was beyond playing it safe. I mean, it's not playing it safe at all. And if there was ever a time to play it safe, you play it safe. I mean, picking Leighton was not safe at all.
Right. I just think the decision, like, I think even going into the matchup ceremony, Christina even, I think she was talking to Ashley, I can't remember. She was like, oh, well, I know I'm going to be sitting out tonight, so it doesn't matter. Like she was like, oh, I should wear comfortable shoes. I know I'm just going to be standing there. Like, I think it was known that she was going to be sitting out. I think they may even had this late and was like, oh, I'm still not going to pick you. Maybe they didn't have this conversation. I don't know. But I feel like Christina, when she picked Leighton, never in her wildest dreams.
Leighton said something to her in the pool, didn't he? Like, well, we'll see about that.
Yeah, or something. I don't know.
So I just think if you have 0.1% chance of a 0.1 reason, whatever, I can't do words right now. If you have any doubt at all that he's going to go with the plan, why put it on him? Unless she didn't have a choice. Like, the only thing that I can think of is she wanted this. She wanted the attention. Or she, like, was made to do so by production, which... It's possible. Let's get into that.
Yeah.
So, question for you, Nick Fishman, conspiracy theory. Is there really any other reason for Leighton picking Christina besides production asking them to?
You know, I think I saw someone comment about this, and I 100% agree. If there was anyone else in this situation who made this move, I would be so firmly thinking that production made this move. But because it is Leighton, and he has just biggest ego I've, like, ever seen for someone who doesn't deserve to have a giant ego, I believe he made this move on his own because he wanted to make some big splash that would get everyone talking about him, whether they won or I think at that moment, I don't know if he even cared if they won or lost. I think he cared because he wanted to be proven right, but I think it was worth the risk of being wrong to get people talking about him, and I think that's why he did it.
Well, Rob was talking about this today on a podcast, and Rob has a podcast where, like, the early seasons of Survivor, like, maybe, like, I don't want to get into this too much for people who don't like Survivor, but Colby picking Tina, potentially you avoid the act that will make you look like a villain because the reward is after the show. It's not necessarily the $1 million. It's the fame and the love and the adoration you'll get from after the show. And that could be possible. Like, the bigger the villain that Leighton is right now, like, the bigger splash he makes, he could get more than the 35 grand than that's taxed on if he secures himself anything. Although, I mean, he is delusional enough to think that he's, and maybe he is selling these shirts, but he's built this brand. We've talked about his website before, and he's trying to be a star from this, like, outright. So maybe his motivations are there.
Well, which is so interesting about if this is, like, what's his mindset is, he's going, like you said about Survivor, like, even thinking about, like season one, like, the big moment there was, like, Sue Hawk's speech. Like, her remembrance of her is not of her being an idiot. Like, it's her of making this big, like, big line, this big speech, and just, like, being evil and, like, cruel, but, like, also funny, and just, like, it just being a huge, big moment in, like, this show. Leighton's just going to be remembered for being a giant idiot. And that's what I don't think he fully grasped when he did this. Like, people are not going to think, oh my God, Leighton really taking, like, a gamble here, really going for it all. Like, no, he's just being a gigantic idiot.
He is being a gigantic idiot, but he's also making himself the villain of the season. And I think that on Survivor, you're not going to get asked back for giving your immunity. Like, I mean, well, who knows who you're going to be asked back for. But, right. like Wu's not getting asked back for making a dumb decision. Like, the people who people say made the dumbest moves don't get asked back for that, necessarily. On MTV, you're a huge villain. Everyone hates Jordan. Like, you keep coming back because they don't want it to just be one big happy family on the challenge. They don't want symbiotic relationship or whatever it is. They don't want, like, kumbaya. They want Leighton on the challenge standing up to Johnny Bananas because he's an idiot and going home because of it, you know, at the wrong time, yeah. But he's willing to do it. So, I mean, if this was just a move to be remembered, he's on the right network to make this type of move.
Unfortunately, that's all fair for viewers everywhere. Yeah, I mean, I can't wait to be done with him, but I agree. I think there's a decent chance he's not done with MTV, unfortunately.
Yeah, definitely, unfortunately. So then we have some more questions. Let me just see. Oh, that might be it for that for now. Then the one thing, I mean, obviously they get the money anyway, which to me sucks.
Agree. I was torn about, I think throughout the episode, I was like, oh, you know what? I know I've been saying, like, I don't think production wants to win. I kind of want to see what happens if they lose, but the way they're doing all the montages and everyone's, like, remembering, oh, this was such a cool time. I was like, eh, you know what? I want these people to win. Give them the money. And then when Leighton did that, I was rooting so hard for them to lose. So hard for them to lose because I wanted – now not only did I want to see what would happen if they lose, I want to see what would happen with 20 people all glaring and maybe more than glaring at this one guy who cost them this money. That would have been unbelievable television.
I mean, we've gone back and forth all season about this on the podcast and off about, yeah, what I keep asking you and challenging you, like, what could be a satisfying end if they don't get the money? This would have been it, is that they had all the answers. They would have had the money. Everything was lined up. The stars were aligned. And one person makes such a dumb ass move that they lose.
And what's so interesting about, like, this dumb ass move is that if they did what, if the rules were as we thought they were, it would have been even extraordinarily more awesome that he was literally choosing to try to give Christina the money over 100% giving Tyler the money. That would have been such a great moment of Tyler now not only crying because she thinks they might lose, but now sitting crying because she knows she can't win and this person just does not want her to win.
I mean, if anything, that would have made a little bit more sense, like a little bit more sense for why Leighton would take this risk. But I mean, what pisses me off about them getting the money, and I hate feeling like this because I wanted them to win the whole time. Like, I don't think the show works if they lose. But, you know, looking forward to hopefully being proven wrong on future seasons. But is like, it totally validates Leighton's move. And instead of getting ass lucky, like totally lucky, he's going to make it like he knew about their connection and he's so great and he knew everything and was willing to take the risk. Like, it just totally puts him on a higher horse than he's already self put on. And I just wanted to see him really crash and burn.
Like, I was trying to think of like an analogy for this type of move too. Like, my brother was watching the last like 10 minutes of this. I was trying to explain to him like why I was cracking up and why this is like the stupidest thing I've ever seen in my entire life. The analogy I came up with is, this is like the equivalent of you playing blackjack and you starting with like 7-3 and then getting an ace. And instead of taking the 21, you play it as 11 and hit again and then get a 10. That is what Leighton did. And it just, the way, if you see someone do that, you're rooting for them to lose because just of the stupidity of it. You want to see them look like an idiot.
And you're also playing with everyone in the casino's money.
Exactly. That's exactly what it is. And it's annoying to me that it paid off. Because it was 1 in 3 shots. Like, there's no way he knew. He couldn't be 100% sure because he was 100% certain about Jenny, Jess, and Ashley. And he was wrong about all those. So it was a 1 in 3 shot. And he got lucky. And it's annoying.
One thing is, then we get like, you know, before we get to the rest of the questions, you know, there's a little bit more like reflection celebration. No white party, though. I think Leighton robbed us of a white party because of all this drama. But Jasmine overplays it. Yes. So much. And honestly, this is now her second like complete dramatic, over dramatic meltdown. I'm like, this was the biggest risk of their lives. What? It was funny. A bigger risk going on like the zip line thing.
Yeah, because they even showed that in the previously about her like celebrating, like she just like saved her life when her and Alex were confirmed predicate match. Yeah, she really like bought into like potentially her and Alex like being married with kids for like the rest of their lives. Meanwhile, they probably haven't spoken since the reunion.
And then this is where Brendan's like my favorite line, like the lowest lows, and the lows were extremely low. Like, that's Brendan's voice to me. That's how I hear him.
Oh, Brendan.
I like Brendan, but just sometimes his voice is like this.
And then if there was any doubt about maybe we're a little shaky in Ellie after her performance in the matchup ceremony.
A little tad.
Then, of course, she just like becomes like the sweetheart of the season, saying like, you know, Anthony's going to make some beach very happy, like the happiest person ever. And I hope it's me, but if it's not, I'm not going to the wedding. I'm not going. Like, how do you not love Ellie? Like,
If anything, I was shaky on myself. I was saying I always tried to err on the side of Ellie, but like, I'm worried about not being on her side.
Hey, that's why I was on her side when they said Jess wasn't attacking whoever. What was it? I can't even remember this. Whoever Jess was attacking like 4 weeks ago. But I was like, if Ellie says it wasn't an attack, it wasn't an attack.
Agree. All right, so we have some more questions. Rapid fire wrap up questions.
Yes.
Kristen Narr, if Leighton had lost the game for everyone, would it have become one of the top 5 reality TV moments ever?
Leading into that moment, I tweeted that if they lost because of Leighton, this would be my favorite MTV reality show moment, hands down.
Agreed.
I can't put it instead,
it's the worst.
Yeah, I can't put it like in the Survivor camp or all that stuff. That's a whole separate category in my mind. But in terms of like Real World Challenge, Now Are You the One, if they lost because of this, 100% my favorite moment ever.
This would have made like the like VH1 or whatever like shows do the like top 40 like craziest reality moments of all time. Like, this would have made like a modern day countdown of that.
It's funny because I almost thought in the moment, like, if Leighton was right, if production was like screaming like, oh my god, this is such an awesome moment, let's quickly like adjust like the beam so it's wrong, so they lose, so we can have this moment like playing for eternity.
I mean, what could have been?
Because honestly, I think this would like, I don't, maybe I'm like overblowing this, but I feel like if this happened, I feel like one of the, like an article on EW the next morning would be like, contestant cost team $1 million.
EW like did a preview on this, and interview, like this would have definitely been covered by other things. Kristen R has a second question. Now, after seeing two different seasons play out, what changes should they make for season 3 to be better?
Well, for season 3, I still hope they stay with the 11th person. I think that's fun. I hope they do an 11th guy for next year. Obviously I want the 11th person to not win money, but I don't think that's going to happen. I think it would be cool, you brought this up last week or 2 weeks ago, that there should be someone with no match. I think that would be even more fun rather than a double match. I think if the 11th, there's some guy out there who does not have a match. I think that'd be fun to say.
I think that would be the better way to do it if it were 11th guy. Because I just don't – we talked about this before. Like, I don't think the guys would be as, like, uppity about it with the double match. Like, I think they would, like, thrive off of it. And I think, like, you can't do another straight season anymore. Like, they've kind of set a precedent where they change it every season.
Yeah.
And I think, like, this season was just, like, a correction. Like, the 11th girl was maybe how they should have always done it, because it's kind of too easy.
Yeah, it's too easy with just straight 20 people.
But I kind of think that they now have to challenge themselves to do another sort of, like, small twist, small variation. So hopefully we get to that.
And they need to keep the 11th person because of having that moment where you can have 9 matches but not win. Like, you need to have that in play. Because last year when they had 8 and then they got the 9th match, like, it was 100%, like, it was over because they couldn't have 9, not a 10.
So I'm going to give you 2 questions, and you can either, like, answer them both or just answer one, because they're kind of related. So Anna Jose asked, do you think they should have just casted Christina over Tyler in the first place instead of adding an 11th girl? And Nick Fishman asked, Christina was able to stick around for the whole season. How much can this really be attributed to Christina as opposed to Tyler's ineffectiveness in being paired with all season?
I'll answer both. I think they 100% should have cast the 11th girl, and I think Christina was, of the 11 girls they casted, was the perfect choice for the 11th girl. So I think they hit that perfectly. And I think a lot of it, as why she was able to last in the game, is Tyler's ineffectiveness. I think if she was a double match with someone like Jenny or someone like Brianna, who was maybe a more present person, I think she probably would have been sent home. So yeah.
Well, I do think that some of it, I mean, we have to buy into the matchmaking at this point, like Brianna's testimony to it. I mean, I think it would have gotten out if it was crap. That there has to be some validity to the system. I'm not saying that these people should go get married right now based on MTV suggestion, but I do think that they have to find 2 people that would both be matches. I do think it behooves MTV to pick someone who maybe will be more difficult to match with. Maybe they're shy or whatever else. And I credit it almost entirely to Christina. Like, who could have foreseen how Christina would play this game, like, bouncing around? I mean, Christina could have, another person might have easily shot themselves in the foot with the whole Brandon thing. Like, absolutely. I don't think we've seen someone rebound as well as Christina did. And I don't think Tyler stood a chance, like, whether she was the most personal person or not.
100% agree. 100% agree.
So Alex Panda Moran asks, so far the game is 2 wins in 2 seasons. Based on the rules and the quote-unquote help they sometimes get, is a season ever going to end in a loss? And if renewed, will producers be more inclined to try and have them fail so the viewers will know what it's like for this season to end that way? This is the Brian question.
Did I write this question?
Yeah. What's
going on? I've been saying this all season. I mean, I think this season they tried to have them lose. I even though they won, I don't think... I think it's clear that, I mean, I don't think I shouldn't say that. I just think they didn't want them to win, and I think I'm going to stand by that. So, will they try to do something new next season? I think the days of them getting double truth boots and all that stuff are gone, so I think they're just going to try to keep mixing up the 11th person twist and see what sticks.
When was their first no match?
First, what do you mean?
Like, sorry, the first matchup was 0 matches.
Week 3?
It is possible that when that happened, they scrapped the helps for the rest of the season. Like, it is possible that they went into this with that. I mean, people keep jumping to those 2 matchups as, like, the reason that they won. And it is, I mean, they have to adjust. Like, we come up at a question later in this, or maybe I don't know. But it is possible that they were like, oh, that's too much help. Let's see where this goes, if they need more help later. And, like, then they didn't need it. Like, it is possible.
It's possible. Who knows?
I also think that this season rules out the possibility that production will rig it so that they get the desired effect they want. I mean, we had some...
Yeah, 100%. If there was ever a moment to rig it was Leighton choosing Christina.
Right.
That was, like, the perfect moment.
Like them revealing that Christina was Anthony's match and they were
wrong.
Yeah,
I mean, and how would have anyone have ever known? They could have easily just said they were wrong. Easily.
So Brandon Lancey wants to know, which season 2 perfect match has the best chance to be the next Amber and Ethan?
Is there a none option?
You're so against the idea that they might be together.
If I had to pick one... I don't have any.
Okay.
I don't have any. I don't think any of them were together.
I think that Alex and Jasmine have, I don't think they're still together, but I do think that they like could be together in real life potentially. I think that someone just flew out of my head. Who is it? Oh, I want to talk to you about the clip for the reunion. So if you don't watch the next week on MTV, whatever, I'm assuming you watched this.
I did see this one.
Yeah. So Paris is crying and saying like, he never tried to see me. He never talked to me. And then the way that they were tweeting about it, like Paris was tweeting like, ha, ha, I feel like that is somehow a red herring.
I think it's definitely a red herring. I don't think they would declare in the preview that Pratt and Paris aren't together.
Yeah, Paris was like, secrets out.
Yeah. So I don't know what that could be about. Maybe like, I don't know, I'm trying to think of who she was like friends with in the house that never tried to visit her or something like that. Yeah, I don't think they would show in the preview that they're not together.
Unless, like, they weren't together, did the reunion, and got back together after seeing each other. Like, I don't know, but I just, something, I mean, it's the same thing with Shanley and Chris T last season. It's like, they were in a huge fight, and they, like, were on again, off again after the reunion anyway. So, I think, is that?
I don't know. I know unclear. they're definitely off now, and we're well, off yeah, for, that, for, that for a
I'm
while.
I'm aware. I meant reunion to reunion, like, but.
I can't remember the time frame.
Anyway, who knows, but I definitely. More on that, because I think they could still be together.
It's possible. Who knows?
Okay.
I don't think there'll be a baby shower on the way, though.
Oh, definitely not. Well, hopefully for them. I don't know. Whatever they want. Okay. Alex Pandemaran asks, what's more likely? We see at least three people from this season of Are You the One on the next challenge, or a third season of Are You the One?
Can I say both? I think both will happen.
All right. There you go.
There you go.
That's it.
Ding.
Okay, so we had a couple questions about this. Surya, Murti, and I'm going to read Andrew Styles' question, but they both asked a similar question. I know the question has been asked before, but now that we've made it to the end, give us your top three Are You the One season two cast members most likely to appear on the challenge? And if this is different than the top three you'd like to see, feel free to go in that route in addition.
It's tough to say, like, most likely. Because it's the thing with the challenge is they cast specifically sometimes for things. Like if there's a Rivals or another X's, like it'll be different. So I'll just say the people that I want to see on it. And I want to see Anthony on it. I would love to see Ellie on it. Not that she would do well, but I just think like if you gave her like one or two seasons and said just go do your thing for like two seasons, I think she'd be unbelievable entertainment in the challenge.
She's like Katie.
Yeah, just
like old school.
But like with someone with like Ellie, you need to like tell her like you're only gonna be on like two seasons max. You're not gonna be like coming out four or five times. Just go nuts for two seasons and see what happens. And
I think do you even need to tell her that?
I don't think
that she's somebody who's gonna like hold back because she wants to come back.
That's probably fair. But yeah, I think I would love to see Anthony on it. Trying to think. There aren't that many like guys that I feel like would do that, even do even that well other than Anthony.
I don't know that we've like seen a good representation of like who would do well. I think in terms of like socially, Anthony would probably do the best at like doing the whole dance with like the veterans. Mm-hmm. I think, well, one thing I want to say about this Ellie thing, why do you think Ellie would only come back two seasons? Like,
no,
how
think
is she any different than like Jasmine?
Well, that's
who's, like
what
not
think.
A challenge.
No, no, no. Piece, I agree with that. And that's why I think she should only be on two seasons, because I do think like a Jasmine is like a good comp for her, and I feel like Jasmine's like first couple seasons were like pretty fun. She was like this spunky energy, and now like her act I think is kind of tired, and I don't want that to happen to Ellie. And that's why I love the idea of putting Are You the One people on it, because I want like a fresh crop every couple years, so doing that is good. So if you just have like Ellie on for a couple seasons, she won't get like repetitive or whatever, and I don't want to see that happen to Ellie.
The idea that MTV won't reuse someone until they've beaten a dead horse is fanfiction.
I mean, look what they did to Jersey Shore. They absolutely obliterated that franchise.
Okay, so I think most likely... So, Leighton, actually, I think Leighton is 100% coming back on the challenge.
I think so, too, and I'm really not looking forward to it.
He also tweeted today, the moment when you realize you have more balls than a ball pit at McDonald's, hashtag Are You the One, at Challenge MTV.
I mean, I think if they do a Rivals, like him and Anthony, like 100% will be paired and they'll both be on. So,
or I just think that if they do anything,
just do anything, even if they do like another free agents or like something like that. Yeah. Like he's,
and it sucks. Literally, it came to the point where if I wasn't podcasting about the show, I don't know that I would have watched the like two to three episodes before the last episode. because that's how much Leighton annoys me. 100%. Like, it's not, I love to hate him, or like Pratt, I watched and I hated it, but I watched it. Leighton's going to get me to turn off my TV.
He's that bad. He's
no, but there's a definite difference between the person that you hate, who, like the Jordan, who's the counter to the Johnny Bananas. Like, there's a definite difference between the foil to the hero and somebody who you just can't stand.
Yeah, and I like
and
Jordan.
Some people like, some people, no, no, exactly. That's why there's like a total difference between Jordan and Leighton for me. And some people like Leighton, but I got to tell you, we have like a little bit of Twitter beef coming up. And the amount of people who liked and favorited things against Leighton versus the people who defended him are like 7,000 to 1.
100%. Should we just get that to that, or do you have more?
Oh, well, I just wanted to say, I think I was going to say Ellie and Anthony are people that I want to see. Even Jess and Brianna in the right circumstances.
Jess could be fun. And Christina, with like the way we've been saying that, like, she's just such a good manipulator. She could be pretty good on too. I would like kind of like to see. Jess could be fun. Jess could be fun when on there.
I thought Pratt, Paris, Christina were all like question marks for likely. Jess, Ellie, and Leighton were my like top three of who least, I think is likely.
Least likely, Nate.
I don't even think that's least likely. I think least likely is Alex.
Which Alex, guy or girl?
Alex, both.
Because all of a sudden with her story, she now like maybe vaulting up in MTV's sick mind of wanting to have her on the show.
Oh, I disagree. I think now that this has come out, like, well, we'll see. But wait, two more questions and then we'll get to our news.
Yeah.
Ahmed Ochani says, is it odd that they made 10 episodes in each season to find their perfect matches? What if they find the perfect matches in the first week?
Then we have a one episode season.
No, but this is what I was getting to with what I was going to say is the question that's kind of about like production flexibility. I mean, the odds that they get all the matches in the first week would just be insane. But it's there, but I think it's, you know, so low. But I think there needs so to be flexibility with what they do with like the helps, the lack of helps, like how many truth boosts they get. Like, I do think that that has to be semi-fluid. And then even if it comes down to like the challenges, like who picks, who plays, like, I do think that there has to be some sort of flexibility there. I also think, I mean, there were times where they got like a huge amount of matches week one or two, like week two last season, or was this like six matches last season in like a beam ceremony?
Yeah, I think so.
And like, then they, you know, they dipped again. So like, even if you get eight matches or seven matches week two, like, they have no idea who it is and they will probably mess it up more to try to fix it.
Yeah.
The cast trying to figure it out will probably like make it worse.
Yeah. I just don't think that they'll ever have to like worry about them winning like in 4 weeks. It's just too, people, I think, underestimate how hard it is to get it in that short amount of time. Like, I don't think that's ever going to come close to happening.
And then the question of the night, Kristen Nahr, how much of a disappointment was it that the whole one girl will go home without money or love never happened?
It's pretty, especially with the way the rules are set up, that's like it's a pretty big letdown that really had no impact on the show.
That was the story. Before the Christina, like, surviving, oops, my mic fell, but before, like, the story of Christina, like, thriving, the story was, someone's going home.
Yeah.
And so I'm bummed about that.
I agree. It's a little disappointment, especially just with the way it played out. It kind of sucks that we never got to see what would happen there. But.
All right. So, hot off the presses, in our news segment, we begin with the Twitter beef of the week. And this involves myself and Brian and Brian's mom.
Yes.
So buckle up. Okay, so Sue Cohen at Plainview Sue, who is one of the most cutthroat tweeters I've ever followed. So I highly recommend if you watch anything on Bravo to please follow her because she's vicious and it's great. Upon deeper reflection of Are You the One, I've decided that Leighton Jones is the biggest douche in reality TV history. That's all.
Yeah, Bob.
Leighton Jones, because he responds to everything, says, at Plainview Sue. I'm going to say her handle as much as I can. At Plainview Sue. Lucky for me, your opinion doesn't matter. But hey, you can grab a t-shirt at his website, and I'll be sure to sign it for you. Does he send a kiss face? I don't know, he sends a wink face or something. I told Brian this earlier. I screen capped this on my phone, like, to read as just those two tweets as the beef of the week. And then I just had to get involved. So I say, nothing says I don't care like an aggressive Twitter response. Then Layton says, you should both know by now that I love it. You know, since you don't miss a move I make and I'm all you talk about. At this point, I wasn't sure if he thought your mom was you or if he just meant in the general public.
I think he just meant the general public.
I talk about. Well, because then he references our podcast. So I was like, maybe he thinks Plain View Sue's my co-host, which in an ideal world.
Of course. But, I'm the placator.
So then I have to bring Brian into this. So I say, we should change the name of our podcast to The Layton Show at Bus Driver's Route. Brian says, so you enjoy the moniker of making the dumbest move on reality TV? Interesting, to each his own. Then Brandon, who responds to every single thing Brian says, says, well...
We're BFFs, all right? Don't hate.
Well, it's not hate. It's true. I'm just... Right. This is the news portion. Brandon says, well, The Rock made his move, but as usual, Christina came back to her diamond, which at the time that I clipped this, had 43 likes, had 43 favorites. This... Honestly, I'm happy Brandon got involved, and I respect what he's saying, but to call yourself the diamond, it's like only Dario could pull it off. Then AJ, you know, a regular schmo like me and you, says,
hey, I was
looking forward to everyone to kick Layton's ass, hashtag perfect end. Layton says, I would have really enjoyed that one, which to me felt oddly sexual. And then Brian says, they wouldn't be able to get him to him with him so high up on his horse. Layton says, is this what he really said in this order? I'm like questioning myself. Layton says, don't worry, I'd let you order off the kids menu and buy you a ladder. Hashtag friends. I guess, okay, this is a little out of order, but that is what he said to this. Earlier, he said he was going to like take us out to dinner and let us order off the kids menu.
That was creepy.
I like mac and cheese. And
yeah, don't hate the kids menu. It's usually the best part of a lot of restaurants.
So Brian then says, P.S., for people who haven't seen Brian in real life, Brian's like 1,000 feet tall, so it doesn't need a ladder, but I didn't get into it. So he says, you say, you're already doubling up on jokes, because he did say this joke before. Try again when you have some new material. Then he says, kind of like your podcast, money shortage, I guess, hashtag real problems, sign up for Are You the One? Brian says, what everyone's thinking, money shortage. You pay people for your jokes? What are you talking about? Then, this is like kind of, oh, so I responded to that. Are you saying you listened to our podcast? And he said, the first one. I said, so how do you know about our jokes? Hashtag keep up. He said, because it was the one I listened to. I thought that was self-explanatory. I said, we recycled our own jokes on our first episode. Wow, we must really suck. And then
this is so great that you're back.
When it's so hard to, I did miss the part where he invited us to dinner, but he did do it. So then when Brandon said Christina came back to her diamond, Layton responded, hashtag says the pebble. Brandon says, I must be a special ass pebble, which got 41 favorites. And I said, take it easy on Layton. He was rejected by 3 girls in 1 season. Hashtag debt record, though. And he said, you're welcome. Now people will actually listen to your podcast. And I said, your star. Because he wrote, Y-O-U-R, welcome. And I corrected it with Y-O-U apostrophe R-E. And that's
the Twitter feed.
Honestly, I really did regret getting involved in this because...
Oh, I didn't regret it for a second.
The reason I regret it is because it's unfair to fight with people who are incapable. And I felt like fighting with Layton was just like kind of sad because he really does believe this and he thinks that he's a star and good for him. And you know what? I just got back to my job and got back to my work. I don't know... Like, he responds to every single person on Twitter. And when he just went at your mom, I was like, oh, my God. I have to get him to burst on us. Like, it's ridiculous. But
it was great.
You went for the jugular in certain lines. I respected that. I was more just like, oh, we really suck then. Thanks, later.
Usually once a season, I'll get into it, one of these people. And I hadn't yet. Like, I remember, like, Real World Explosion. Like, I remember getting into, like, a Twitter beef with Jamie. Like, a couple tweets back and forth, which was a lot of fun. And now I had my moment with Layton.
The thing with Layton is, like, he kept bringing up our podcast. Like, if you are so much better than us and you don't listen to it and you're not aware of it, then why do you know, just based on our Twitters, that we're the podcast.
It's funny because he still follows. I think he follows still both of us through all this. I don't know why he never just hit the unfollow button.
Well, he does favorite his hate, which I like. I respect that. But it's, I think he just favorites everything he's tagged in. I mean, look, it wasn't that big of a deal, but it was just like what he was saying was hilarious, where he's like, oh, like you recycle your jokes on your podcast. And it's like, oh, so you listen? I only listen to one. Well,
I just never understood the kids menu part. Like, what did that refer to? Like, are people like, older than him?
I like want to say that I really screwed up by missing that part, but I think he just like kind of threw it in that I'll take you. No, I think he's 25. I think he's like the oldest you can be.
So he's got me by like 3 months.
Listen, don't age yourself.
Yeah, I'm staying 24 forever.
Oh, this is still blowing up. Now, new favorite count.
Breaking news.
Is the diamond tweet has 45 favorites. Still going crazy. Okay. So on to the next segment. TMZ reports. Special report for you.
I was trying to make the breaking news sound effects. I don't know if that's going to come through.
Alex Female is a cam model, which I will say that I must have a sick sex professional sense because I did reference webcam porn on the last podcast. And
shout out to you now.
Foreshadowing. I'm going to pretend like you said shout out to you now instead of the program, the site. Okay, so she is on TMZ because she is reportedly, first off, so she's a sex professional and webcam sex haver. And she is making a mold of her vagina to sell as a sex toy. Unclear. I didn't go back to the article. Is she raffling it? Is she selling it?
I think it's like eBay, basically.
I do, like, I'm tempted to know the logistics of it, but, like, I really also don't want to know. So
I don't want to know the people bidding on this stuff.
The most interesting part about, I mean, nothing's kind of surprising here. Like, she was a quiet person. Like, if you told me, like, Brianna was doing this, I'd be like, what? And no judgment. Like, do what you want to make money.
No, judgment. You can declare judgment on this.
No, I'm not going to slut shame her.
I'm going to judge.
I mean, look, it's a legal, lucrative career, and she's probably having a good time with it. But TMZ reports that she did not disclose this to MTV. Brandon Lancey asks, now that the public is aware of girl Alex's occupation, are you surprised that she was cast for the show? Is it possible that production did not find out about it until during/after filming? And if so, do you think this affected the amount of airtime she got once the show was aired? Short answer, no.
Yeah, and also, are we that positive that she was doing this before the show? Because I did a pretty deep dive on all these people preseason, and I'm pretty sure I would have found out if one of these people were a cam model.
Well, she definitely didn't have it in her Twitter bio, but she was tweeting naked pictures of herself during the show.
Okay.
I
don't know, maybe she was like, I don't know how like the cam modeling scouts like go about their hunting to try to pick up new people, but maybe she was contacted because she was on the show.
I mean, the TMZ article reports it as though, like, she was doing it previously, and now she's, like, using her Are You the One fame to, quote-unquote fame, to, like, capitalize on it. It's unclear. That's a great question. I mean, I do think that she definitely doesn't use her first and last name on cam modeling, or she definitely didn't previously, so I could see how you wouldn't find it. But I don't know. Because if you only have their first and last name, like, and she's under, like, Alex Star.
Right.
Unclear. Good question, though. I'd be curious to know. But I just, overall, I don't think that there's any possibility MTV didn't know about this, unless you're right that she wasn't doing it. They don't have a problem with having, like, professional porn stars in it. Like, Dustin was on.
Dustin was on. There was, like, the focal point of that season was his gay porn past, so. Their code of conduct is not, like, that strong.
Before I turn the news segment over to my co-anchor, I just want to say that on Twitter, like, there's now some, like, serious hate going on with Alex. Like, in general, like, Jess and Christina have been, like, criticized by some people of, like, hating on her so much. And I was trying to, like, find these tweets. And Jess was like, seriously, do you bitches want to die? Quoting Ellie and said, fucking skank, man, why did they cast her? Talking about Alex. And then Jess said, coming up, whore on the loose. So they're like really seriously hating her. Christina like tweeted back at us like a joke about this story breaking. So
yeah, unclear, she stole my joke for this podcast.
Unclear if they found out about this, her career after the show, before the show. Like, I kind of want
to
know.
Be after. I think, they found out about it when the TMZ article hit.
The only plausible thing
the cast
is that
is, I don't know about MTV.
The only plausible thing is that you're right, that she didn't start doing it until after, or she didn't really have a following, or she wasn't good at it, you know, that kind of thing. Because how do you like hide your whole life on?
There's no way. Like, MTV has to do such a deep
dive. No, I mean,
like,
even just talking to people. I mean, there's nothing really to do in the house, right? But get to know each other. Like, how do you hide that?
Yeah, my guess is that she picked this up like a couple episodes in. That's my guess.
That's not what TMZ would suggest, but that's kind of what the facts point to. And we're serious news journalists here.
That's we're no press. No press, bad press.
What was that?
you don't even want to know. You don't
okay.
want to know.
Okay, so your segment.
So ready for my news? Yeah, so the news of the MTV world after Are You the One is ending is that the Real World and the Challenge is starting up soon. The Real World starts December 16th, and then it was announced the Challenge starts soon after that, I believe January 8th. But the bigger news is that it's going to be the same night, Tuesday, 10 p.m. for the Real World, 11 o'clock for the Challenge. Now, we were debating already once the Real World announcement came about what we were going to do for that, because obviously covering that type of show is a lot different than if the Challenge already won. And then when the Challenge news drops, we just said, screw it, we're just doing the Challenge. So we may touch on the Real World once or twice throughout the season, depending upon how it's going, but this podcast will continue into 2015 with the Challenge Battle of the Exes 2.
Yeah, we'll probably do like a preview podcast sometime between now and the airing of it. More details on that on Twitter.
Might be a little Christmas gift in your stocking. If you guys are good.
TBD. TBD. Date TBD.
Yes, just a little tease. It's still a couple weeks away. Still got Are You the One's not wrapped yet, but just know that we're not going away just yet. Can't get rid of us.
A little hiatus. We'll vacation.
We have a little holiday break. But yeah, so we got a lot of news. Is that you got anything else?
No, that's it. Just we will be doing a final wrap up podcast to the wrap up of Are You the One after the reunion next week.
Yeah, so when I post the thread for questions, it doesn't just have to be reunion questions. If you have any other questions about Are You the One, throw them on there then, because once it's over, it is wrapped and it is in the books. No going back. So. For the reunion for next week. Till then, see you guys. Have a good one.